This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
We will definitely not burn the Quran.
If you could build a church on a site, you could build a synagogue on a site, if you could build a Hindu temple on a site, then you should be able to build a mosque on the site.
If I knew this would cause this kind of pain, I would not have done it. Given that, why don't you undo it, or at least do it differently from this point on?
We are exploring all options as we speak right now.
One can't prove that God doesn't exist, but science makes God unnecessary.
I can't help thinking that when Hawking talks about this grand design, the final theory that explains everything, doesn't that appeal at some level to the scientist's desire to be a bit like God?
Florida truck drivers love Issues Etc.
I think they're called SINCs. Single income, no kids. Sometimes called more cynically bratless singles. And if the research is to be believed, the Census Bureau gathered a lot of data, and then a New York research firm, Reach Advisors, crunched the numbers and discovered that women of this age group, 22 to 30, with no husband, no kids, earned 8% more than their male counterparts. Sounds like a victory for feminism. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, the 14th of September. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll kick off today's show talking to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about this new research about the pay of single childless women, and then we'll discuss a vote today in the French Senate to ban the face veil, Islamic face veil. We'll round off this hour talking with Pastor Scott Kinneman of Concordia Publishing House about the day being observed on this day by the church, Holy Cross Day. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
Sounds great. 8% more than their male counterparts in 366 metropolitan areas. The numbers are undeniable. Is this a victory for feminism?
I'm so excited. I can hardly stand it, Todd. Look at this. These numbers don't surprise me in the slightest, because we could tell years ago, in the 70s, when I first started studying economics, you could tell even then that the differences in pay between men and women were almost entirely due to the impact of having children. And the way children affect men and women differently. And so what happens is that women make their decisions differently when they are mothers, and even when they are planning on being mothers, when they know they're going to be mothers, they choose their occupations differently. They spend their time differently. So what this data is really showing you is that we have a group of this cohort of 20-year-olds are making their decisions as if they're never really going to be moms, and the economy is being built around people who are not planning for parenthood responsibilities. And so that's what's really striking about it, is that we're now kind of coming full circle, so that we're extolling the 20-somethings and saying, isn't this great that they're earning the same as men, or more than men even. And what we're neglecting is the fact that earning money is not the only thing a woman wants to do in her life. And we've made it harder, not easier, for women to do a lot of the other things that they want in their life, namely be married, be moms, be away from the workforce, at least some of their lives. And so that's why this headline and these, the study itself is not, the outcome's not surprising, but the headline is just so misleading, it makes me crazy.
It also comes along with two other factors here, and that is there are more women right now graduating from college, that is higher education, than men, and the deferral of the age of marriage. Talk about those things, if you will.
Yes. Well, the first one I think is exceptionally important, which is that education is becoming dominated by women completely. It isn't just that faculties are being dominated by women. That when you go to school, you're going to be taught by women your whole grade school and high school career, for the most part, you're going to have women. And those institutions are run by women for women. And they don't understand or respect or appreciate the particular needs of little boys. And so what's happening is that women are dominating throughout education in every area except math and science. Women are dominating in performance, and they're dominating in absolute numbers. And so men are being driven from these fields. And so what's happening is that a lot of the men are no longer considered suitable marriage partners, because in spite of everything, in spite of all of the feminist propaganda, in spite of all of the media, women still want to marry somebody who can take care of them. We still have the need to have a man that we can look up to, a man that we can feel safe with, a man that we feel is going to take care of us in important ways, and of course financially is an important way for us. So we've done far too much benefiting women at the expense of men, and it's time to get a little bit more sense of balance about this thing, and realizing that that when there's nobody left for men for women to marry, the net result is not an increase in happiness for women.
On the issue of deferring the age of marriage,
yes, this is part of it. See, this is exactly part of it. You know, in other words, you're going to college, you're going to grad school, and so it's a lot of those women are never getting married. And so you factor those people in. Of course, they're increasing the age at first marriage just by averaging them in. You know, you're putting it off so long until you have all of your professional things in place, and then the some of them who never get married at all. It's all making the age at first marriage look further and further out, and it has to do with this expansion of education and the fact that people are still working with the model that says, by golly, you get educated right now. As soon as you get out of high school, that's when you go on. You don't have kids first and then go back 10 years later, or you don't work for a while and then say, okay, I'm going to go get a master's. People are doing it straight through, and that necessarily means that you're going to be postponing your childbearing.
But they're not postponing the hookups, maybe not even cohabitation, but the virtual cohabitation. And a woman who says, okay, I'm not going to marry, I'm going to pursue my education, then my career, I'm making good money, I don't need a husband, and I want to defer that and kids, often doesn't defer the kids. Some of these women do end up to be single mothers. What happens then?
Yes. Well, see, there's two different trends that are going on at the same time, Todd, and the numbers that you have there are referring to kind of one end of that trend. And one end of it is that the better educated women, which is who that is referring to, remember, this story is about college educated women in metropolitan areas earning more than men. They're, of course, you know, they're going to do fine financially, and they are oftentimes choosing to become single moms because they figure they don't need kids, but they're not teen moms. They're not desperately poor inner city welfare mom type moms. You know, they're 30 somethings or late 20 somethings who are deciding who needs a man. I'll do it myself. So that's part of the trend. But the other part of it is that for women who don't go to college, and the marriage market has been completely turned upside down by a whole lot of factors we've talked about in other shows, those women are oftentimes saying to themselves, well, I'm not going to college anyway. What is there to wait for? I got pregnant. I'll just keep the baby and take care of it myself. And besides, I want someone to love me, and who's going to love me more than my own baby, you know? So there are a lot of complexities that go into it. But if you look now, one of the biggest dividing lines in terms of the haves and the have-nots in this society is whether you're married when you have kids, you know, and whether your parents were married when you were born. Those kinds of things are the great divide within society, more than just cash income. It's the propensity to marry before having kids that's deepening the divide between the rich and the poor in this country.
So with about 30 seconds, what is the, in spite of the headline, I know you find that infuriating, what should be the takeaway, our takeaway lesson from the fact that women ages 22 to 30, no husband, no kids, are earning about 8% more of their male counterparts in metropolitan areas?
there's absolutely no longer any gender discrimination in the workplace to speak of. That's the takeaway. And there really hasn't been very significant sex discrimination in the workplace for a long, long time. That's the takeaway, that the differences in pay between men and women, such as they are almost entirely due to the decisions that women and men make around their childbearing. That's the takeaway message, Todd.
Finally, I understand that you're going to be in our neck of the woods next week. You're going to be speaking at Family Life Center in Effingham, Illinois. Tell us about it.
Well, that's right. They're having a fundraising dinner in Effingham, Illinois, and I'm going to be the keynote speaker. And it's my understanding that this is a pregnancy support type of organization. And the dinner, as I understand it, is entirely no cost for admission, but it is a fundraising event, and so they are going to ask you to contribute to their efforts. So it would be great if Issues Etc. listeners came to see me at that event. I'm going to put the invitation to it up on my website so that people can see it, and I hope you guys will too. This particular organization doesn't have its own website at this point, but they are having this big dinner to support their efforts, and I would love to see Issues Etc. listeners at that occasion.
Folks, you can find out more about Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse's speaking Thursday, September the 23rd. Mark your calendars. Thursday, September the 23rd at Family Life Center in Effingham, Illinois, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You'll find everything you need right there. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jennifer, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Todd. See you soon.
When we come back, Dr. Alvin Schmidt's going to join us. We're going to be spending some time with him this Tuesday afternoon talking about today's vote by the French Senate to ban Islamic face veils. This gets a little confusing, understanding why in France, of all the places in Western Europe where Islamization is on the march, why in France they find it so necessary to ban things like a female's face veil to help curb what unassimilated Islam in their country. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
How would you like to win a $50 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House? There are two ways you can win. One, write the best invitation to your Facebook friends to become fans at the Issues Etc. Facebook page. Or two, invite the most friends to become fans at our Facebook page. Send an email to contest@issuesetc.org with the text of your invitation and the number of friends you invited. We'll give away the CPH gift certificates October 1st. Invite your Facebook friends to become our fans today.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.